Shit We've Read is a proud member of Bilo Network, a network of geeky podcasts.
Please visit shitwevered.com to support the show.
Now let's talk about some books.
Hello and welcome back to Shit We've Read, a sci-fi and fantasy book podcast hosted by some geeky friends. My name is Jason Rico, and I will be one of your co-hosts on this episode. Joining me to discuss Bookshops and Bone Dust by Travis Baldry is one of my co-hosts, Bella Romero. Hey, Bella. How's it going?
Hey, Rico. Hey, Laura.
Hello.
And there you go. You heard Laura. We also got Laura Benson in the house. What's up, Laura?
Hey. Glad to be back.
Way to ruin the suspense if anybody hasn't listened. They're like, who's this other host? We've never heard of her.
I know. I'm usually second, I feel like. So I'm just used to being like, hey, you guys. So I was like, hello. Hello, Laura.
Bella doesn't know how to say hi.
This is what happened in our After Dark recording when Laura introduced Emma first and threw off the whole system. We're like, wait, I'm not ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, wait, what?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, okay. I'll try to let you know ahead of time that you're going to be introduced first.
Thanks. That actually would be helpful. So.
This is our season finale episode. So
thank goodness.
This is it.
Wow.
The last episode before we take a little break. But don't worry, we've got a whole book discussion to get through before we say goodbye for a little bit. But before we get to the book, as always, let's start these episodes by discussing some of the other shit we're reading. Bella, I won't put you on the spot first. Laura.
Yeah, I was ready that time, though.
No, you know, you had your chance. You had your chance and you ruined it. Laura, what are you reading now?
I finally got around to The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue by V.E. Schwab. I've been trying to read
about
this
time
for so long now. So I finally read it because that was like the next book from my library on Libby that was available. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna read it. For anybody who is interested, hasn't read it yet, I really enjoy it so far. Basically, in a moment of desperation back in the 1700s, Addie makes a bargain to live forever and it is also cursed to be forgotten by everyone she meets. So we learn about her different dazzling adventures throughout history, but everything changes after about 300 years when she stumbles across a young man in a bookstore that actually remembers her name. So it's a very interesting premise. I have very much enjoyed it so far. I've actually mostly been listening to the audiobook.
It's a great audiobook.
It's, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I really like the narrator. So I'm almost done. And I've just been blowing through it for the last few days. So far, definitely recommend it.
Nice.
I almost commented with something that would have given it away.
Oh, yeah, so don't really, do that.
Yeah, oh. I don't. Forgetting that this is not the actual book we're talking about today. So.
No. Bella, what about you? What are you reading?
I am still on my Rick Riordan saga.
Yeah.
My journey.
Yeah.
But I am finally on the Heroes of Olympus series, nice, which is the sequel to the Percy Jackson and the Olympians series. And this is called The Heroes of Olympus. And spoiler warning for anyone who has not read Percy Jackson, is only watching the show, I'm about to say something that might make it a little bit ruined. I mean, these books have been out for years, for a decade.
Oh, for sure.
But like, I'm not ruining the books, but for anyone watching the show, maybe plug your ears for the next like 30 seconds. But this is about the Roman camp. So you find out that, you know, there's actually a secret Roman side to this. The gods exist. That's kind of like the whole thing for Rick Riordan, is like all the gods are connected. They just have like different iterations throughout history, which is very true. Like the gods are based off one another. The Greek gods are not original. They're based off the Egyptians and so and so. So yeah, it's really, I've actually read this book before, The Lost Hero. So this one is a reread for me. And it's fun to see how much I actually remember from it. Like I was like, oh, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. I remember this. So I remembered more of it than I thought. So I already owned the digital book, but I've been listening to the audio book, which I don't like. I don't like these narrators. They're very annoying. So, and this book is different from Percy Jackson. Percy Jackson was like first person POV of Percy. This book is third person narration of the three main heroes telling the story. So each chapter is switching off. I don't dislike it. I just don't love third person POV, especially for like a wide, like middle grade book. It just feels really weird.
Are these still considered middle grade? I feel like he's aged up the series a bit.
Heroes of Olympus feels very middle grade. I think the Chalice of the Gods, like the more recent versions are aged up, but like the main characters are 14, 15. So yeah, they're still pretty young.
I remember just kind of reading a little more mature. Like maybe just his writing style just kind of matured.
And it could be that this one feels really young, The Lost Hero. It looks like the other ones get more dark, but this one's not really, it is darker than Percy Jackson. The backstories are darker.
Yeah.
But it still feels very middle grade to me. At least these characters. I'll just leave it at that. So nice. Yeah, it's good. What are you reading, Rico?
I am reading A Winter's Promise by Christelle Dabos. I'd be pronouncing that incorrectly. I believe the author is French. This is book one in the Mirror Visitor series. And Bella, you actually recommended this to me years ago now.
Yeah.
And like, definitely pre-COVID. But I'm finally getting around to it. I'm not too far into the first book. Just started it, but I'm enjoying it so far. I couldn't really tell you too much, like what it's about yet. Just a little taste. It takes place in a world that has gone through like a cataclysm, and there are these like floating islands, and each one kind of has like different magic or something. There seems to be a really intricate magic system already at play, which I'm really excited to dive in deeper and kind of unravel.
It's like each of those little planets, called arcs.
Yes,
are like their own little world with their own different like powers, and like people look different, act different, have different like societal structures and norms. So like they exist completely separate from one another. Almost think like different alien races, right? If you're thinking like sci-fi, because even countries kind of feels wrong in some way. It feels more like different like ecosystems, different planets.
Each one
is so different. And that's how they act towards one another. Like they act like if you come over, you're like an alien, which is the main character's experience because she's from like a different planet. And yeah, everyone has powers based on like, so it actually is like really similar to Percy Jackson because each planet has like a different, can't remember what they call them, but it is like a different god or like spirit that like all their powers are descended from. So, and they mirror the different gods of the various different not ideologies in our world. So
interesting.
Like,
okay.
Yeah. You'll get
haven't
into
got
that.
Through that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's very cool.
Yeah. That's it's been really interesting so far. And I'm excited to dive in deeper. Like I said, I just recently started it. So
still, I need to reread it because I never finished the last book because I read it before it had come out.
Yeah.
And
gotcha.
Coming out for like years because it comes out in French first and then we get the translation.
Right.
So I was waiting for the translation and then I was waiting for the box set because I was like, oh, I'll just reread them all. But I haven't seen a box set. So now you're like reminding me. I'm like, I need to go find that. So Barnes & Noble field trip. For
There you go.
Or another local bookstore.
Absolutely.
There you go.
All right. So there we go. That's what we're reading. Now let's move on to the main topic at hand, which is Bookshops and Bone Dust by Travis Baldry, as I already mentioned. This could be classified under cozy fantasy for sure. Mm-hmm. It was first published last year, November 7th. For the synopsis, I'm going to give you guys a choice. Who wants to read the synopsis?
I'm down to.
Ooh, Bella, there we go. Thank you.
I was like, Laura hesitated, so I was like, I'm fine to volunteer. This one's easy to read. Viv's career with the notorious mercenary company Rackham's Ravens isn't going as planned. Wounded during the hunt for a powerful necromancer, she's packed off against her will to recuperate in the sleepy beach town of Merk, so far from the action that she worries she'll never be able to return to it. What's a thwarted soldier of fortune to do? Spending her hours at a beleaguered bookshop in the company of its foul-mouthed proprietor is the last thing Viv would have predicted, but it may be both exactly what she needs and the seed of changes she couldn't possibly imagine. Still, adventure isn't all that far away. A suspicious traveler in gray, a gnome with a chip on her shoulder, a summer fling, and an improbable number of skeletons prove Merk to be more eventful than Viv could have ever expected.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I should probably point out that if you have been listening to the show, you may already know that we read the first book in this series, Legends and Lattes, for our season opener this season. And we thought it'd be a nice little bookend to the season to finish off with this. We had a lot of fun with that first one. It's nice and cozy, super easy to read. We figured we'd finish it off again with a cozy little book, a nice little story, and a little adventure. But also, it's important to know that these books can both be read independently. Because this is a prequel, that doesn't mean you have to have read the first book. So there's definitely no required reading here. We tried to do that on purpose. So if you've listened to the first episode and you've read that book and want to listen to this one, fantastic. If you haven't and you want to dive into this one, welcome aboard. Glad to have you. All right. So, Bella, you just read. I'll give you a break. Laura, what were your first impressions of this book? I'm really curious to know what you thought, because if people have listened to the first episode, you know, you had some opinions about the first book.
That sounds so bad.
No. You just, you know, you have your own personal experiences that led to you feeling a certain way about the book. And so I'm just curious how you felt about this book.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first book, it was kind of like a bittersweet thing. Again, like you said, just kind of based on my own similar business owner experiences. So this one was different. I did not know what to expect. I did not read the synopsis. I just knew that I knew it wasn't going to be the story that I thought a prequel would have been. I honestly don't know that this one was for me. It started off kind of slow to me, and it just kind of felt like just a lot of wandering. And so I felt like the actual plot of the story didn't happen for a while. There were little things here and there, but it didn't really catch much of my attention until closer to the end when things were actually happening. And I know this book is probably supposed to be more about the personal connections that Viv is having with the other characters, but I don't know. I felt like it just wasn't for me, I guess.
Fair enough. Yeah, not fair.
You know, we are allowed to have our own opinions on these books.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah.
Bella, what is your own opinion on this book?
Yeah, I mean, I also didn't know what to expect. I think the more after we initially recorded the episode for the first book, Legends and Lattes, I really liked it, but then I think like I didn't really want to come back to cozy fantasy as much, just because it feels like it's slower. I like a little bit more action, a little bit more intrigue. But I still wanted to read this book because I did enjoy Legends and Lattes. I had fun. And lucky for us, California has just been gloomy and dreary for a few weeks. So it was kind of nice to have like a cozy book to read. And I did like this one better because there was a little bit more action going on. I think one of the things we talked about with the first book was like they're really like the mystery subplot was pretty minimal and like very scattered in between. Like most of it was like the day to day of owning a coffee shop and kind of how unrealistic that was. And this one felt a little bit more grounded in terms of what they were setting out to achieve during this time with the business, which is a bookshop. This time, which is already off the ground. It's like a family business. And they're really just trying to help it do better, give it a little facelift. So that to me was already a little bit easier to follow and believe what was happening. And it was kind of fun to see Viv in a different light early on in her career versus after being like weary from it. So yeah, I have more thoughts as we dive in deeper, but I liked it. I think it had more going on. Some of the reviews I saw were like, it's not as cozy as the first book. Like, there's too much action. I was like, it's still very cozy, people. It is still like, the action is still very slow paced. It still centers around, for the most part, the like kind of mundane aspects of their lives, building their friendship and building her community and like planting the seeds for what will become Legends and Lattes. So I think I just want people to know that going into it, as much as I talk about action, it is still very cozy, very slow.
Yeah, but it's super cozy. Super cozy. That's weird that people are saying that it's not cozy. This is a very cozy book to me.
Yeah, I was like, what books are you reading?
I think it's cozier than the first one. I think running a bookshop probably seems cozier than running a coffee shop to me. I'm sure people out there who run a coffee shop or bookshop will yell at me. It's fine. Yeah, I really enjoyed this book. I enjoyed it more than the first one. There was something about this one that just seemed easier to me. And I think maybe some of it was our criticism of her in the first book trying to start a coffee shop in that business and just kind of everybody like rallying behind that and the whole neighborhood coming together. And it kind of just seemed, you know, unrealistic. And it's a fantasy. Right. And so I get it. But this one seemed more, I don't want to say boring, just more stuck in the minutiae of the day to day of just like having this bookshop that is kind of not doing well. And Viv just like, well, here I am. Like, and that's the story. Like, it's just, I'm just happened to be in this bookshop. Yeah. And you just kind of see the character interactions. I really, really love the characters in this book. They had a really great cast of characters. I feel like all the relationships were really well defined. I really enjoyed all the dynamics. I really had a good time with this book. I'm a little bummed, Laura, that this one wasn't for you. I was hoping that moving away from the coffee shop, you know, you'd like this a little more. but, you know, it wasn't meant to be, and that's fine.
I think maybe I would have enjoyed it more if it was more about the bookshop. Because, I mean, yeah, it was she would navigate between, I guess, three places. So where she was staying, the bookstore, and the bakery, mm-hmm. right? And so it just felt like it was a lot of just going between people and getting to know people. And yes, I feel like majority of it was mainly about the bookshop, but I feel like it wasn't the focus like the coffee shop was.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think part of that difference is that she's not the owner and nor is it like her permanent place, which I think is a fair observation. Like, I wouldn't even call that a critique, just like, you know, something that you didn't like about it. Like, there's nothing wrong with the book on that one, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we try to say when we talk about these books that sometimes the books just aren't for us. You know, exactly. It doesn't make it a bad book. It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't mean it's not worth reading if this is the kind of stuff you enjoy. Just wasn't Laura's cup of tea, mm-hmm. And that's fine.
I'm trying not to get into spoilers.
No. Yeah, I think that's enough. Let's get into spoilers. Like,
there's definitely things about it that I enjoyed, but I think overall I was probably a little more bored than I wanted to be.
It was too cozy for you to the point where you're napping.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. I think
as we get into spoilers, I might agree with Laura a little bit on that, because there were times where I was like, okay, move on. Like, let's, we know, go. There is
something, you
know,
needs to happen.
The action and the mystery is still there. And so you're kind of at times you're like, okay, I get it, we're in a bookshop, but can we like get to that plot that's happening in the background? So yeah, let's get into that.
Hey, book lovers. Natalie here from the Tipsy Nerds Book Club Podcast, your home for the best of science fiction and fantasy with a twist. Whether you prefer dragons or aliens, your cocktail shaken or stirred, co-host Robin Dabney and I have you covered. Past guests have included authors like New York Times bestsellers Hugh Howey and Dorinda Jones, And the nerds are excited to open our fifth season with best-selling authors Tracy Wolf and Nina Croft, co-authors of the upcoming high-concept sci-fi romance book, Starbringer. Join the conversation. We're two tipsy nerds and one great story. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, all right, let's get into spoilers. This is your spoiler warning. If you have not read this book, or even if you haven't read Legends and Lattes and you're fresh to both stories and you don't want it spoiled, this is your chance to turn away. Go read this book or both books and then come back. We will be here. Okay, so let's talk about how this relates to the first book. In the first book, Legends and Lattes was about Viv, who is an orc mercenary, or retired mercenary adventurer who's since given that life up and wants to open up a coffee shop. This book is about her still in her mercenary days.
I think it's supposed to be like 20 years before Legends.
Is it 20 years? Wow, okay.
Yeah. 20 years? Damn. I knew it was a time.
It was a time.
Yeah, I'll look for it. Okay. Is it somewhere?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I knew it was like at least 10 years, like because of the epilogue, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Yeah. So this follows Viv when she's, you know, still in her mercenary days, and she gets injured and is taken out of action. And so she has to rest up in this little town. And what else is there to do except wander into a random bookshop and friend the shopkeep and go from there, you know?
Obviously. Flirt with the baker.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what else are you going to do, you know?
That's what you would do, Rika.
That's what I would do, absolutely. Go into the bookshop and flirt with whomever I come across.
You're like, listen, I'm trying to marry into books. Not money, books, obviously.
Saves you money.
Yeah, it saves you. God. That's basically like marrying into money for Rico.
Exactly. So I just want to point this out. This is a really funny coincidence. I just recently finished reading The Princess Bride for the first time. I love the movie. This is the first time I actually read the book. These books start off in a very similar fashion. They're both about like a main character who is injured or ill. And another character introduces them to the world of books, even though first main character isn't really a reader. And so the setup is very similar. The rest of the story is different, but I just thought that was a little funny coincidence as I was reading this book.
Nice.
Okay, Laura, so...
First of all, I found it. It is 20 thank years.
You. 20 years.
Oh, cool.
There we go. I don't think I picked up on that. I didn't realize it was that big of a...
Yeah,
it's literally one mention on the very last page of the epilogue.
Oh,
gotcha. Okay, so I have a question to start off.
Okay,
in Legends and Lattes, was it mentioned at all that Viv was a reader, or was there any sort of mention of reading whatsoever?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either. Right. Mm-mm. This is like one of my criticisms sometimes, like prequel. Books, prequel movies is like you fill in this entire adventure and you introduce things that weren't part of the character later on. Mm. And so like in a lot of ways, I felt like this book was very much like Solo, a Star Wars story, wherein that like you give us this this official title, Solo, a Star Wars story.
I thought you were going to say like a solo book, like a standalone book. And I thought you were
No, Star Wars. I'm thinking back to Star Wars.
Yeah, obviously. It always comes back to Star
Absolutely.
Wars.
Absolutely. No, like you introduced this book, which it was great and I liked it, but was it necessary? And I don't really know like what it gave us about Viv other than just like a previous adventure. It didn't really add much to the character as we know her in Legends and Lattes.
I think what it was trying to do was show that she had some kind of business-related experience in a way. She didn't run the bookstore, but she kind of helped with that facelift while she was there.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree that it doesn't really feel like it fits as part of her background because this story feels very much like it would be one of her... like her milestones maybe or like something that she will always remember. it would be part of that history that she goes back to in Legends and Lattes, that she would think back to, you know, XYZ or this person and get these ideas from her past experiences or relationships, but they're never brought up in Legends and Lattes.
Right.
And also in the epilogue, it does mention, like, she's like, oh, it was, she was talking to, was it Tandy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And was like, oh, I, you know, thinking, oh, I never told this story of this bookshop and this person that sent me this letter. And I'm like, why would you not have told this story? I feel like this is part of your history that you would have shared.
Yeah, yeah, especially like the fact that it's been a few years since Legends and Lattes, even for the epilogue. Like they're mm-hmm. like, after all these years, we've saved up money. So I feel like, yeah, it would have had to have come up at some point, especially like if Tandy and Viv are dating now, like wouldn't you have talked about like previous partners at some point? I don't know.
Right.
Like that's just stuff that comes up when you are dating. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like it tried to set up the Viv settling down in a cozy town and being a business owner. Like she did enjoy making friends and like having a routine and having a safe space like that. That wasn't about her like physical presence, her like the fact that she's a big orc. So she's, you know, just the muscle. But I don't think it did it super well. Like you said, like it didn't really set up the coffee shop or like the, sorry, in Legends and Lattes, it didn't set up this at all. Like this kind of came out of the blue, this story. I thought this was going to be about her trying coffee for the first time.
Like, that's what I wanted, but I knew that's wasn't what it was.
I forgot it wasn't. And then like, as I was reading, I was like, oh, she's going to try coffee in this town. I was like, wait, that's a different town. So this isn't going to be the coffee story. So what am I reading? I don't know.
Yeah, in the epilogue, we keep talking about the epilogue, we keep jumping to the end. The epilogue introduces a letter from Fern, and Fern basically says, I'm traveling now, and I'm probably going to stop by your town. So when I got to the epilogue, I felt like, oh, this entire story was just an introduction to Fern, so that when Fern is probably inevitably introduced in the next book, we have that backstory. But it's such a weird thing of like, oh, here's a whole adventure that I've never talked about, even though there's so many things that relate to my life now. Like her relationship with Maylee, the baker, right? It's a huge part of her life in this adventure. And Fern's like desire to have baked goods in the shop. But then in Legends and Lattes, I felt like Viv's introduction of baked goods into the shop didn't seem to like connect the same way. It was kind of like, almost like happenstance, like an accident. I was like, oh, why don't you make these baked goods? What a novel idea, even though you've already seen that idea in action.
Like, I can't believe at no point, if she was a reader, if she had enjoyed reading and drinking a beverage like she did in the,
yeah,
the like inn tavern that she was recuperating at in this book, that at no point owning a coffee shop, she was like, you know what would make this great? A good book. Those two things go hand in hand. I don't care what world you're in. I always have a hot beverage. I have a beverage when I'm reading. Come on. A little tasty snack. I mean,
it's the holy trinity of coziness. It's a book, a tasty drink, and a nice little snack.
Today I had a coffee and some Thin Mints while I read this book. It was perfect. Excellent. I cannot recommend it enough. That was like the thing crossing my mind was like, how did she not put this together sooner? Why did it take getting into the epilogue for this to come to fruition for Viv?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got this letter like a few years after I've started this coffee shop where like, again, like things had happened so quickly in Legends and Lattes, like the jump from like just having coffee to like doing lattes and baked goods and all that stuff, right? So again, I'm like, it took you that long to figure out books. I don't know. That was really unrealistic. I liked this book as like a standalone. I don't love how it connects back to Legends and Lattes because it feels a little retcon. It feels a little like convenient.
I feel like it would work if she hadn't been at in what's the city? Merck. If she hadn't been in Merck for so long, then maybe she wouldn't think about this very often. And she was there like maybe a week and she experienced these things really quickly, then maybe it wouldn't have an impact on her when she was opening her coffee shop.
But she had a whole summer romance.
Yeah, again, she was there for forever.
That also was like a thing that I thought going into this. I was like, oh, this will be like, I think we all thought this was a shorter book than it actually was when we like were first talking about.
It's bigger than the
season
first
finale.
It's bigger than the first one, but it's still pretty short.
I mean,
only considered. It's like, I think the audiobook is only like 8 hours. It's
yeah, but
pretty short book, but
332 pages.
But like, it's still, I don't know. It just, I feel like it could have been a lot shorter. And going into it, I was like, oh, this will be like a week of her time. And it was what, like a month or so? Like more than that. It was like a summer fling. It was weeks. I don't even know.
I mean, all things considered, I did enjoy the summer fling. I felt like
it was very mature.
It was very mature. I felt like it was very realistic. I really bought the relationship. I really rooted for them, knowing that it wasn't going to last. Because, again, we know, you know, Viv ends up elsewhere. But I was happy to see it develop into whatever it was going to be and then just kind of dissipate, as, you know, relationships do sometimes. And I really appreciate relationships like that. I feel like, I don't read enough about those type of relationships in the books I read. They're always true love, and it's the end of the world if we're not going to be together. And exactly, fated mates. You know, we're destined to be together, and that's great,
Omega
fantastic.
Imprinting, you know.
You know, I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum if that's what you're into, but also I feel like there's something very special about the relationships that you have in your life that come in, are impactful, change you for the better, teach you something, and then you move on with your life. Not all relationships are meant to last. And I really enjoyed that about this book. So even if the book as a whole, I felt like didn't really connect to the previous book, I was glad to have gotten it. Mm-hmm. If for nothing else, that little romance and that kind of glimpse into Viv's life that is independent from the rest of your life. Because I think we all have that, you know?
And it was just written so sweet and slow burn.
Yeah.
With like her going into the bake shop and like being confused. She's like, why is she holding up the line to talk to me? Like, I feel so bad that the line is getting so long, but like, why is she threatening people? Like, ugh, like but I'm okay. I'm confused. Like, it was just really sweet. And I feel like it opened up just like, I don't know, just a little, like you said, like it's just a fun aspect to the book. I enjoyed it. There were people online that were like, oh, it was hard to get into that knowing that they were going to be like, obviously not end up together because we know how it ends. I was like, but like you said, sometimes you have relationships like that. Like how many times do we see like movies and books about a summer romance that like doesn't go anywhere? Not really. They usually somehow end up back together. So I kind of liked that going into it, they were like, we know that we're not going to end up together and that's okay. And like, we're just here for a good time and we can enjoy each other's company.
Absolutely.
I was like, that's great. That's sometimes all you need. It was good. It was really sweet. I liked their chemistry, the flirting.
Yeah.
Cute.
I like the chemistry between all the characters. I felt like those are really great cast of characters. You have Fern, the Ratkin owner of Thistlebird Bookshop. Her pet, Griffith, Pot Roast.
So
great
cute.
Name. Love that. Obviously, we have Maylee, the owner of the bake shop.
I love that they were into each other's arms. So I don't know if you like caught on to that, but like it was so cute. She was like, I knew I wanted to meet you the moment I saw those arms. I was like, that's just so adorable. And then Viv just kept being like, oh, and she was opening things like with no problem. Like those arms had seen more than just some flour. So more than just like kneading dough or something. And I was just like, oh, it's so cute.
God.
It was precious.
Dude, you see with their arms.
It was so cute. And like, I think that's where like, you know, they bonded, even though they were different I don't, what do you call it? Not species, different.
Races.
Races.
Fantasy
yeah.
races, yeah.
Fantasy races. Yeah, it was cute. They were like, but we both have buff arms, so we're a power couple. I was like, yeah. It was great.
Literally power, yeah. What were your thoughts on their representation of the bookshop itself? I felt like the bookshop in of itself was a character. And I always mm-hmm. like when a establishment, a house, a shop is a character. I think so, one of the reasons why I like this one so much compared to the first one, I didn't really get the sense that the coffee shop was a character. Mm-mm. But in this one, like, I really felt like the shop was.
I agree. There was so much heart to it. I could really picture it. I really pictured like all of the transformations that were happening and the space evolving as they evolved. Mm-hmm. Like, that was so beautiful. And that did nothing to squelch my desire to own a bookstore. If anything, it fueled the flames of desire for a bookstore. I was like, I just want to work in a bookstore and be cozy all day long.
Are you even a book reader if at some point you haven't wanted to either own a bookshop, work in a bookshop, or be a librarian?
Ugh, to be a librarian. Don't like, even
one started. Of the three, you know?
I considered yep. changing my educational route to be a librarian. I was like, I'd have to start from scratch though. So no. But yeah, so it was, I also enjoyed that. I like how you put that, the bookshop was a character in the story, because it definitely was.
It went through its own story arc.
Yeah.
It did.
It really had character development.
Yeah.
It really did.
It did. And it had a backstory, you know, that it was her dad's shop and mm-hmm. like she had grown up there in the store. And that, you know, it was a lot about the navigational maps and everything, but like she wanted it to be different. She wanted it to serve her. And by the end, like she had figured out what that was. And like Fern went through a parallel growth of like, do I even want to do this bookstore anymore? Like, do I actually love the work I'm doing? That was just all really beautiful. And I think was foreshadow, right, for what Viv was going to go through with her mercenary lifestyle and ultimately Legends and Lattes. So he did a good job tying those elements together, I think.
Agreed.
Was anyone else fascinated by Viv's obsession with the specifics of Zalia and Burke's relationship? Like... So we meet Zalia, I forget the last name. She's a local author.
Yeah. Lady something.
Yeah, she comes in to do a signing, and then we meet Burke, who is her manservant, her you know, mm-hmm. whatever.
Bodyguard.
But Viv immediately starts thinking, oh, they're just here by themselves. Like, that was such a weird leap for Viv to jump to right away and just constantly be obsessed with like the fact that they might be a couple, might not. I'm like, what was that based off of, other than
it's based on the fact that this author writes smut, so right. where is she getting these ideas for her smut?
Yeah, that's right.
If she only lives this with this guy.
That was alluded to by another character, the guy who carried the cart with the wood. Pitts or something. Pitts,
yes. I believe so.
Like Pitts said something like, where does she get her inspiration? And Viv was like, I don't know. It's just her and Burke up there all alone. So that's a great point, Laura. Mm-hmm.
I love that she was like fishing. Sure. She kept fishing for answers. Like, so it's, just you two up there.
She really wanted to know.
Yeah. I was like, well, we have the groundskeeper and a couple other people.
Listen, Viv was taking that book to her room a lot. She wanted to know.
Oh, I know what I want to ask. How do we feel about these books being referred to as moist books?
Oh, that grossed me.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, I didn't think you guys would like that.
I don't mind the word moist. It's just that being the word for this book was weird.
This book is written by a man, so I'm not surprised.
What would you have called it, Laura? What would you have called these books?
Okay. I mean, we already called them smut, so yeah.
Moist.
But this is a fantasy, so I'm not, I mean, I don't know what I would call it. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I know, I was thinking about that too.
I feel like maybe something with yearning, I feel like
I would love to know what any of our listeners think they would call
maybe
it.
Maybe like a fireplace novel, like something that makes you burn up inside, like a furnace novel. You know, like I was thinking, like, I was like, oh, like a dusty novel, because you're like dusting it off the shelf.
Oh, I don't like that.
But I didn't like it. I was like, I don't like dust being referred to in that way. So yeah, something like a furnace novel or a charred novel, or I don't know, something to do with fire. That's my guess.
Something with steam, maybe.
Mm. Yeah, maybe.
A steam fuck novel.
Wow. Okay.
I was gonna say like a kettle whistle or something.
Oh.
Like a kettle whistle novel.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Right. I actually kind of like that. Kettle whistle. That's cute. We can say cozy smut are kettle whistlers.
Oh my god.
It feels very old fashioned.
Kettle whistler sounds like an old timey book club.
That's what I was saying. I was like, it actually sounds
good. It does.
Yeah.
You guys, I was just thinking before this call, because of this book, I was like, I need to start a book club. I need to start a book club. Maybe I'll call it the Kettle Whistlers.
Oh my god, just wow. Smutty romance.
Yeah.
But like historical smutty romance. It has to be on brand for the kettle whistle.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like Bridgerton meets
sure. Yeah.
Everything else. Throw some fantasy in there, you know, some like old fashioned fantasy.
Oh yeah.
Some historical fantasy.
Yeah. As long as a character wears like a petticoat or something, like it's appropriate.
Time traveling is allowed, so you could get some sci-fi in there.
Yeah. Probably no androids or Laura.
Well, right. I said time traveling, so it could be a time traveling android who has to blend in.
What is this? Fucking Star Trek people at Ren Fairs?
Yeah. That's a thing. That's a thing.
I know
people
it's a
do
thing.
Like Star Wars characters, yeah.
I know.
I'm just saying. Don't gatekeep fantasy, Rico.
I'm not.
Just kidding.
Oh my god.
Doing you a hard time. As usual.
We were just talking about Ren Fairs before the recording, everybody. So
yeah.
It's fresh on our minds.
It is fresh in our minds.
I don't know what else to talk about in this book. Hey, Laura, you got something?
Well, I was going to bring up the additional plot. So
the action at the end that you guys liked?
Yeah, so like it might have been about the same amount of action compared to Legends and Lattes, but I felt like Legends and Lattes had it sprinkled out more. So things were happening throughout the book.
Okay.
Whereas in this one, it didn't feel like it was often enough. And then it all just kind of happened towards the end. And so I was very interested in the actual plot of this necromancer and like these things that were happening. And I didn't feel like there was enough of it to keep me interested. So by the time I think I got more interested once Satchel was in the picture.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was more of an actual physical presence of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what at what point he showed up. I don't know what percentage.
It was about 50% or 60% of the way.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just felt like before that it just kind of felt kind of boring and just about people. And so I feel like the first book had more balance between, opening the shop, meeting these people, creating these relationships, and also this action kind of plot. I guess it wasn't really action. I'm not sure what we would call it. The mystery,
yeah. I agree, because one of my like comments to myself was that the guy in gray, I think is what they called him, the man in gray, can't remember.
Yeah.
When he showed up, I was like, wait, what? I had forgotten that there was like a conflict. What had happened? Like something else had been briefly mentioned. Oh, that she had seen him like looking at her from across the street, like earlier on. And she was like, I got a chill. And that was like all we got for the first half of the book. And then all of a sudden this guy was in the shop and they have a fight and she ends up in jail. With her friend, one of the friends. So like, I was like, who is this? What's going on? Like, where did they come from? And it took me a minute to remember that previous scene. And then even then after that, like they were just hanging out in the bookstore for a really long time. Like they were like, oh, the threat dissipated. And then all of a sudden he turned up dead. I was like, what's happening? Like, this is very strange. Like nothing else is going on. Hmm. Like one of the Gaina ends up like finding him dead somewhere. I was like, how did she end up there? Like no explanation. It just felt very like convenient, but also kind of like an afterthought. Like, oh, I should put something in here now.
Interesting.
I should bring it back to the whole point of the story.
I guess, Jason. I didn't really have an issue with the way the mystery, the action, the plot was presented, because both these books, for various obvious reasons, like remind me of D&D. And the way like D&D campaigns kind of unravel. And so like this book in particular kind of felt like, oh, your characters are like in town. And you as a character like don't, or as a player, don't really know what's coming because those choices haven't been made yet. And so you can kind of like take chunks of this book and kind of see them as little mini sessions. When they're having to go, go get the, what are they called? Spine backs or, you know what I'm talking about? Viv and Galena go off to do their little mm-hmm. adventure, that kind of felt like, oh, here is the adventure of the day. We're going to go do this. And then you have to come across the big bad. Something, there has to be like an inciting incident for it to actually happen as players. And so I really got the sense that this is like a D&D kind of story where things happen, but they're not really quite laid out for you to see quite yet, if that makes sense. Which I understand, like as a reader, you want to see that and you want that to be introduced earlier. But I guess for me, I was just kind of taking things as they come and enjoying the time in town, enjoying the time at the bookshop, enjoying the time with the baker, and just kind of just going along for the ride. So I mean, I'm bummed that I didn't care more about this mystery or this, you know, this plot. I really was here for the cozy vibes, and I got what I wanted from this book.
Such a book break.
I don't know, maybe I wanted more from it because I knew that it was a self-contained story. Like it's not really going to affect the future story.
Okay.
And so I think I was expecting, maybe I was expecting more from it to keep myself more entertained. Like if it were really just strictly like about all the people and maybe it was if there were more about the bookshop and helping and doing this revamping of her business, Fern's business, maybe it would have been a little bit more interesting to me. But it just kind of felt like it was, I don't necessarily want to say monotonous day-to-day stuff, but it was still kind of just day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
And so because the plot, this mystery with the necromancer wasn't happening earlier, it just kind of got a little boring for me.
You've read the Monk and Robot books, right?
Yes.
And you enjoyed those?
I did. I did enjoy those. Those had a different message to them.
For sure, but I'm trying to gauge how well you respond to cozy fantasy.
I think it depends on the message. So like this one, the Bookshops and Bone Dust, to me, didn't really have a message. It was just cozy vibes mm-hmm. and then into this mystery, this mm-hmm. necromancer thing.
Yeah.
Whereas the Monk and Robot books had a message. It was about personal feelings, internalized, you know, just trying to, it was, for anybody who hasn't read it, it's very much about like finding your place in the world.
Yeah, I have not read them, so that was helpful.
The first book had me in tears. Like, it was so good. Like, it was worth it. It's worth the tears for me. But this book wasn't that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I always think of cozy fantasy as a hug. And where this book was like a hug from a friend, I guess Monkey Robot would be like a hug from a therapist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
That's kind of more the hug you want. Is like, life is real tough. I need a hug, please, before I break down. And this one is just like, and a hug is nice.
That might be a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
This one's like, I'm being hugged by a blanket, so I'm already pretty happy.
Yeah.
This one's like, I'm just chilling.
Yeah, this one's great if you're already in a happy place. Mm-hmm. Or you're not trying to work through stuff. You're just like, I'm just here for the vibes.
Yeah.
I agree with this description. Okay. Yeah, I either need a hug because I'm not in a good place, or I want like really good action story.
Gotcha.
So yeah, this was not suiting your needs, and that's fair.
All right, anything else on this book before we wrap up this discussion and this season?
I just wanted to point out, I didn't realize immediately that the narrator for the audiobook is Travis Baldry.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it was so funny because I was maybe like a quarter of the way through and I was like, I wonder why they chose to have a male narrator when the character is female. Most of the characters are women.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, I bet you it's author. And it was. And I'm actually very impressed because he did different voices and accents for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, he's apparently a pretty prolific narrator for audiobooks.
Yeah, that was like his job
before he got published.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I did enjoy the audiobook, even if I wasn't necessarily that into the story itself. I thought that he did a really amazing performance, and I think that probably made it a little bit more enjoyable than reading it for me.
Yeah, I thought, he did a pretty good job with all the different voices. I mean, some of them are kind of similar, but I felt like his voice for Satchel was great. I really like that voice.
Mm-hmm.
His voice for Fern was fun. Kind of sassy. Yeah, he did a great job. He's a man of many talents.
I liked the voice that he gave. Was it Galena?
Uh-huh.
The little gnome friend.
Yeah.
Because when you first meet her, she already sounds really annoying. Like, just the way that she is like, she's very, you know, kind of in your face and like wanting to be a part of things and like kind of rude sometimes, very straightforward. And I liked the voice that he gave her because it really matched her personality.
Yeah, no.
I did end up really liking Galena's character, though. I will say that.
She was great. All the characters, I can't stress that enough. I loved all these damn characters.
Wow.
They were very, yeah.
I believe you now. Yeah. I can now tell that was probably your favorite part of the book.
Yeah, you give me a good cast of characters and I am in. I don't really care what happens. Like, if I care about the characters, I'm sold, which is like usually my gripe with the After Dark books you read. I don't give a shit about the male lead or the female lead because they're such shallow characters. But if you make me care about them, then I'm like, all right, I'm in.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, we all read for different things. Some people like descriptive language about like every blade of grass in the field and all the scents in the air. And I don't care about any of that, but I care about characters.
I agree with that.
Fair enough.
Before we wrap up the discussion, I have a question for you, just a little bot experiment. I already mentioned that the epilogue sets up the third book to have Fern come back. That's going to be my prediction of what happens. Fern comes back, and there's another adventure in Thune. But so far, with these two books, we've had two separate cozy establishments. The first one was a coffee shop. This one is a bookshop. And a theoretical third book in? What cozy establishment would you want it to take place?
Ooh, like a bed and breakfast.
Ooh, I like that.
I like that idea.
I could see that happening.
Like you could put, she had like so much space upstairs and there's the business next door. Like I could totally see a bed and breakfast on the top of both businesses. Like if you expanded.
I like that a lot.
Across the two.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Or convert it into like a pub at night kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'd be cozy though.
Well, you could bring like drinks to the book part. So you could have like a beer and read a book. That would still be cozy. I've seen one of my favorite places in the world in DC was a bookstore that did that. They had a restaurant in the like behind it.
I've seen something about that online.
Yeah. And you, could like pick your book. It was like a pretty small bookstore. And then at the very top, there's this like tiny loft where they'd have live music. And so you could sit up there or you could go behind and go to the restaurant and they had really good dessert. So I'm like, I could see that for this place. I'm like, you could have dessert. So the baked goods are still there, hot beverages, coffee, but also like beer and wine if people wanted to. And then you could just like sit there with a good book or talk with friends, have some music.
Nice. You know? Nice.
Yeah. What about some kind of like art thing?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like a.
I'm thinking like people like to do like paint and sip or pottery classes or whatever. Those can be kind of cozy.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. I dig it. Your ideas make way more sense than what I thought of.
What did you think?
Well, I was trying to think of like, what do I think is cozy? Like coffee shop, when I go to coffee shop, cozy vibes for sure. When I go to a bookshop, cozy vibes for sure. Where else do I go that to me is kind of cozy? And a vinyl shop came to mind, but I don't.
I thought you were going to say sex dungeon.
Well, hold on. That was my second idea. That was the second idea. In order of coziness, it is a bookshop, coffee shop, vinyl store, and then sex dungeon for sure.
That sounds about right for you.
Yeah.
But, like, they don't have vinyl in this world.
I know. And that's like, oh, I don't think that exists. So I don't know what the second choice was. I did kind of think brothel, maybe. Kind of some cozy vibes in a brothel.
I mean, technically.
After Dark has corrupted you.
I know. It really has.
You do love those little brothel coins.
The brothel tokens? Oh, my God. Brothel tokens are so interesting.
I think you should DM Travis Baldry.
We'll do. I got an idea for your next book. I feel like I would need to come up with a good alliterative name.
Think of the title first, plot later.
Yeah, for sure. Point. Yeah.
Something to think
Vamps
about.
Vamps and Tramps.
See, I was thinking like Mistresses and Manacles.
Oh, that's good too. That's better.
Speaking of, I think it was in the last episode, Jason, you mentioned the name of this book, Bookshops and Bone Dust, and how bookshops doesn't really make sense.
I said that?
You said you would rather it have been bookshelves and bone dust?
Oh, correct.
And I totally agree with you after reading this.
Yeah, I see. There's one shop.
There's only one bookstore there.
Yeah.
This is true.
Oh, well.
I'll include it in my email too, Travis.
There you go. Tell him he needs to change the title for the next printing.
Absolutely. Bookshelves and Bone Dust, and then the third one, Mistresses and Manacles. Okay, so this book currently has a 4.26 rating out of over 36,000 ratings, which is pretty damn good. People really like this book. Laura, what would you rate this book?
I would say probably a 3 or 3.5. I think it's a combination of it's not for me, but there's still also things about it that I feel like could have just been better in general.
Okay. So 3 or 3.5 for Laura. Bella, what do you think?
I can't decide if I want to rate it for me or for other people. I think
you.
For me.
Rate it for you.
For me, it's a 3 because it was just too cozy. I like more action, But I had a really good time. So like, that's kind of where I lean towards like a 4 for both ratings. I think overall it was a great book. I think what takes off the full point is the fact that it's a prequel that doesn't connect fully back to the original book in a way that protects the story that brought you here.
Like her history.
Mm-hmm. Like just the fact that like, how does she become a voracious reader in this story? And it never comes up in Legends and Lattes and like the bookstore idea and all the stuff we've mentioned. So.
What about you, Jason?
I would give this book a 4.5.
Wow.
Yeah. I really like this book. It's not a perfect book. It's not a 5. I do kind of agree with you both in that I feel like it maybe drags a little bit here and there. It could maybe be trimmed a little bit. I think you guys both kind of alluded to that. But I did really enjoy this book. I had a great time. It was really, sometimes I just want to sit and enjoy a book and not really have to think too much about it. You know, I just need like just a really cozy vibe. And this is exactly what that was. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed it. 4.5 for me.
All right. Nice.
I know. All right. So that's our discussion on this book. We're always reading, obviously. So what is some of the shit we're reading next?
I mean, I'm at the beginning of a new series. So I'm continuing down the road of Heroes of Olympus series. I don't know. We've got a break for a little bit. So I kind of want to read some of the books I was told to read. But we'll see. I don't know.
Project Hail Mary.
Yeah, that's one of them. I will probably get to that in the break. I think I will. So I start the new season anew, refreshed, and with that debt cleared. Because honestly, I have not been thinking about books lately. I've been thinking about the haircut and piercings I'm going to be getting in our break. So I'm excited for that. So.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. All right. A whole new look for the next season.
Which you want to be able to see my ears behind these giant headphones, but it's fine.
It's fine. We're going to have to get new headshots.
I'll know that it's there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Laura, what's next for you?
I am actually going to read your Fast Pass book for me.
Yeah.
The City We Became, right?
Yes.
By N.K. Jemisin.
Yes. Okay, cool.
It actually, while we were recording, I got a notification from Libby that it is available.
Perfect.
I also do have a physical copy. Perfect. I like to switch it out. So I am ready. I'm almost done with Addie, so I'll probably start it in the next couple of days or so.
Okay.
But I'm excited. I have known about it for a long time, but it's basically just really quick. Description is 5 New Yorkers must come together in order to defend their city. So we'll
That's
see.
It. Enough said.
I think we all bought that book on shop, like the shop small books shop local bookstore day, like in 2022.
We may have.
Because I have that book and I vaguely remember we all went to Underground Books and all bought it. Or at least me and Rico did.
Yeah, I think I may got the sequel. I think I'd already
Something
read it by
like
then. But I do remember you looking
for
it.
I remember we were all like, "Huh, we should all read this."
So
I'll be starting that. I don't know if we've ever explained it, but for any listeners, we do Fast Pass books, where we each give each other a title, a book, and we're like, if you read any book that I recommend, it's this one.
Yeah.
And so we try to fit it in, but Bella still hasn't read Project Hail Mary.
Yeah, I'll do it.
I need you to read it because I really want you to read the next one that I have for you.
I know. Okay, I'll read it during the break.
I will say, I think this probably started mostly for me because I schedule out my book so far in advance. And Laura's like, you know, I'm not going to wait a year for you to read my book. Yes. I need you to read this ASAP. I'm like, all right, fine. Give me a fast pass and I'll slip it in sooner.
Yeah.
But the trade-off is, and I'll give you a book you have to read ASAP. So that's how it started.
And I think you gave me one, which I don't remember what it was.
I gave you one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I read
probably
it.
Did.
But you never gave me another one, so sucks to suck.
All right, well, if you want another one, then.
No, I got to read Project Hail Mary first.
No. That's Laura's. I get to give you one.
I know. No, I'm saying I got to read Project Hail Mary first, and then
When you do get to Project Hail Mary, I do recommend the audiobook.
I know. That's actually what I'm going to put on.
Laura, I recommend the audiobook for yours, too, though.
I think that might... I can't tell. Movie. I did put that on hold also.
Okay.
So at least some of it. That over reading it?
I would at least start with the audiobook.
Okay.
Yeah, just start with the audiobook, and then once you know you're a little bit in, you can decide to do from there. But
I can do that.
Yeah. The they do some cool stuff with the audio. So that's all I'm gonna say.
Okay. Good to know. I appreciate your recommendations.
Oh, well, I appreciate you reading my recommendations. I know.
Just kidding. What are you reading next, Jason?
I'm going to continue on with the Mirror Visitor series. I'm still early in the first book. There's 4 books in the series. As long as I really like this book, I'll continue on and finish that out. So I'm looking forward to that. I hear good things about them all. The covers are really nice. They're pretty. So, I hope they're good. I hope I enjoy them.
Cool.
Nice.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode and all season long. If you have any thoughts about this book or any of the others we've read, feel free to share. We love hearing from our listeners. You can find us on all social media at Shit We've Read. Easy enough. As I mentioned, this is the last episode of the season. We'll be taking a short break to recharge and plan out future books, future episodes, and possibly future author interviews. We may even have some other fun surprises for you. We're currently batting around a few ideas we're really excited about and hopefully we can make happen. So be sure to follow us on our socials so you don't miss those announcements. And just because we don't say this nearly enough, if you enjoy the show, please like and review. It really does help us out. And we appreciate those of you who already have. Again, thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate each and every single one of you. We will see you all in May. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Shit We've Read is hosted by Laura Benson, Jason Rico, and Bella Romero, with music by Joshua Chilton and editing by Jason Rico.
To join the discussion on this and all other books we've read, find us at Shit We've Read on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok.
For more information about us or to request transcripts, please visit shitwevered.com.
This podcast is part of the Bi-Lo Network. Visit bilonetwork.com for more great geeky podcasts.
Thanks so much for listening.